So today I want to talk to you about our Taken to the Pews initiative and discuss church and community members' satisfaction with HIV screening in African American churches. I have absolutely no relationships to disclose other than the following. I have to acknowledge the mentorship of Dr. Jeanette Berkeley Patton. Jeanette, you know what? We've been doing this for 7 years together, and God is still choosing to bless us to bring this initiative internationally, to just let you guys know what we're doing locally in Kansas City so that you can replicate it in your states. To Reverend Eric Z. Williams, who isn't here, but he's been at the forefront of the Kansas City movement around HIV and AIDS and educating and mobilizing churches to become more aware that we need to learn our status. To Pastor Sandy Wainwright for coordinating the liaisons at the churches and encouraging them to stay involved and very active. To the four churches that joined our TIPS research project that you see there. To a very awesome graduate student, Marcy Berman, who helps me move through these stats and understand them a whole lot better. To Andrea Bradley Ewing, my colleague, who has been with us from the beginning of developing Taken to the Pews and helped us develop many of those the tools that we'll discuss. To the National Week of Prayer Planning Committee for the Healing of AIDS and the ASOs, including Kansas City Health Department, and then, of course, for the money to get it done from the National Institute of Mental Health. So, you know, following Siobhan, we know there's a tremendous need to access routine HIV testing for more African Americans. And one thing, well, there's many things that we know for sure. One thing is what Siobhan told us. Historically, the black church remains to be a cornerstone of influence, trust, and support for the African American community. However, we don't have a lot of studies that really examine the receipt of HIV church-based testing, and that's what TIPS is doing in Kansas City. We also know for sure that 45% of African Americans get tested for HIV each year, and it's estimated that between 20 and 25% of HIV-positive individuals are unaware of their status, and may also contribute to 50% of the new HIV cases. African Americans tend to be regular churchgoers. I know I find myself in the pews here and there, and 50% of us find ourselves in the pews. Churches have a variety of special events. They always reach into the community to provide support and direction to the community members surrounding their church. So they look to the church for outlets. Why not an outlet to learn about HIV? Why not an outlet to be a place where you can be screened? Because of all of these things we know for sure, we should be continually asking ourselves, why not black churches? So just to give you some quick contextual background, the National Week of Prayer, which was previously known as the Black Church Week of Prayer, has been in activity since 1995 in the Kansas City, Missouri area. And the Week of Prayer Planning Committee consists of people living with HIV and AIDS, service organizations, academic partners, well over 30 local churches on both sides of the state line that includes Kansas and Missouri. The Planning Committee coordinates annually a group of events that only happen once a year, okay? It happens beginning in February with this initiative, our Taking It to the Pews revival, What's Church Without a Revival, right, to get people pumped up, ready, and charge them to get screened, right? So 4 weeks before that first full week of May, there's a revival series every Wednesday. And it concludes with the prayer vigil on the first Wednesday of that week. We have a day of pampering, honoring, and nurturing female church and community members living with HIV. We offer an Agape Cafe, right? Y'all know Agape. Unconditional, can I say amen? Unconditional love. We offer an Agape Cafe where men having sex with men come out and fellowship and discuss practicing safe sex practices. And then we have a huge mock-style New Orleans parade with band and all, beads, throwing beads into the community as we walk through the streets, and also flashing with poster boards, though, messages of HIV education and increasing their knowledge. Amen. Because we don't want to influence any more risky behaviors than we should, right? Okay. Annually, these events have incredible reach with thousands of people attending. Many of the strengths of the Week of Prayer is the ongoing evaluation of those events. And we found that few people got screened, even though screening was offered, and we asked ourselves why. Well, one of those reasons is the capacity of the community to provide HIV testing. Some of these ASOs would show up with 5 test kits to an event where there was like 200, 300 people. Like, what are you going to do with 5 test kits? How many people are going to really learn their status? And we learned that even though the churches encouraged folks to educate their congregants, there was a lack of follow-through in doing something. And so we needed to figure out how do we mobilize these churches to do something. So, like any good community-based participatory research model, we invited our partners and our pastors in to have ongoing meetings and discussions regarding the role that we can play in addressing HIV and AIDS. What they told us was, you ain't gonna come in here talking about condoms because that just is not happening. However, you can do what we're used to and come on in and focus on HIV awareness and education and screening. And we said, well, okay, I think we can handle that. So Taking It to the Pews was created to complement that week of prayer with a primary aim to mobilize churches to increase HIV testing among their church and community members. And what you're seeing here on that picture is just a whole bunch of the tools that actually come in that toolkit right in the middle, in the top. And those tools, there's a lot of them. First, we have a TIPS revival checklist and planning procedures, sermon guides, responsive readings, videos, educational games, discussion guides, promotional items with bookmarks, Bible bookmarks, fans, what's a toolkit without a fan? And then we formalized existing collaborative ASO partnerships. We went into the health department and we said, listen, we need to ensure your commitment to and capacity to provide HIV testing not on your regular hours, but outside of that box. We need it when folks in the black church are meeting to study the Bible. We need it on Sundays before, during, and after service. And are y'all down to make that happen? And they said, yeah, they could do it. So we began to explore and take a look at HIV church-based testing. We recruited 4 churches, 2 intervention and 2 comparison, with an average church membership of about 250. We recruited church volunteers and gave them each, well, we recruited participants, gave them each $10 in incentives to complete a 13-page, you hear me? 13-page health beliefs and behavior survey. Now, I'm a nonprofit girl. When Dr. Berkeley Patton said 13 pages, they'll do it, I was like, not me, not for $10. You're going to have to give me more than 2 gallons of gas to get it done. But economic times are hard, and they did it, and they did it with a smile. And it was even looked at as a teaching tool. They all often had questions about whether that was part of the intervention. So it's pretty good that you can hit them from both sides. The survey was completed by a total of 543 participants, with 417 representing church members, 126 representing community members with an average age of 41 years old. Our target population was 18 to 65. We also conducted post-intervention focus groups where we discussed topics such as barriers that hinder and facilitators that assist implementation of HIV prevention in churches. The main roles, the 2 major roles, I should say, that played in the success of the TIPS intervention were the liaisons, the church liaisons, and the Kansas City Health Department. The church liaisons were developers, implementers, and evaluators. However, in the role of implementers, they served as a central contact person representing the church, working closely with the pastor to coordinate and plan how he or she was comfortable in delivering the TIPS materials to the congregants. They distributed 1 to 2 TIPS tools per month. They coordinated 3 testing events using a specialized screening event request that was sent into the health department. They received ongoing training from us and always constant encouragement through technical assistance. The churches did receive dollars to do the to be involved in the intervention. I believe we gave them about $2,500 for each church. It could be used in many ways, right? But you know what? In these economic times, if they used it to pay their light bill, that was okay with us. If they paid it, if they used it as a way to pay for food for an event, that was good too. So any way they needed to use it, they were able to use that incentive. Also, the liaisons were paid. You know, I've been in church for a long time, and I do a lot of work in church, and I get tired. And don't nobody give me nothing but a hallelujah, girl, thank you so much. I'm going to be praying for you because I know this was tough. And it would always be good if someone gave me, you know, $20 for a gallon of gas to get back and forth from the events that we coordinated, you know. So we gave them $400 that they were able to split amongst themselves. The health department provided confidential HIV testings on Bible study nights and on Sundays. Big, big, big deal to be there all day on Sunday. We were really blessed to have screeners that were, I can't even tell you how awesome our screeners are. And the fact that they fell right in and started clapping and stomping their feet even made it better. They supplied HIV tests, rapid tests. They described the HIV testing during church service and role model testing with the pastor. What top strategies motivated church HIV screening, church-based HIV screening? What's church without a testimony? We had brothers and sisters that were infected with HIV or affected by HIV give their testimonies within a special church service event, a special screening event, or a church service event. It allowed folks to share their stories and folks to become more compassionate to what it's like to live with HIV. The pastors role modeled receipt of the test with the screeners, whereby demystifying the screening process, and everybody knew exactly what to expect when they stepped into that testing room. Folks were primed. The ministry leaders were primed to go and get tested. And how did that look? For an example, at our Mount Carmel's testing kickoff event, during the church evening service, 10-minute rapid tests were offered, and the choir members led the screening, with a few, getting up out of the pew and getting tested when a call was made to get tested. And there were many calls to get tested through each event. In that one event, 66 church members and community members were screened in one night. Overall, a total of 310 people got screened over a 12-month period. Note the difference in testing between the comparison and intervention churches, with the intervention churches being screened over four times as many as the comparison churches without those strategies in place. When asked what made it easy for you to get tested at this church, the following strategies seem to motivate the majority of congregants to get screened. Here we can see its impact change from 6 months to 12 months. Having HIV testing openly and readily discussed at the church, with 75% reporting at 6 months and 88% reporting at 12 months with a significant value, you could deduct that consistently receiving HIV education messages and encouraging testing at least 1 to 2 times per month seemed to decrease the stigma associated with church-based screening, so people felt encouraged to get tested. Having the pastor persuade and encourage is also very powerful. So straight from the pulpit, on Sundays when there was an event, or Sundays when there was not an event, on Wednesday night, the pastor would talk about this Taking It to the Pews project that's in the church. And he'll drum up support, he or she will drum up support for the testing events that were upcoming. And so folks really felt encouraged to get tested from the pulpit. The main slogan, though, and this is where trust is an issue. See, you know, y'all been to church, so, you know, sometimes you worry about what Mother Greer is going to say about you, you know, because Mother be talking and you'll have to, you'll feel like an ostrich and you're going to have to put your head in the sand. And one of the things about church is that even though we know that exists, we trust each other. We trust each other. And we trust each other mostly when our pastor tells us to trust each other, right? So our slogan was, take a hand, get tested with someone. So by 6 months, most of the churches had already experienced at least 1 or 2 testing events. And you can see there that when 65% were encouraged to get tested with their friends at 6 months, but by 12 months, 86% were encouraged. And look at the bottom. Someone actually asked them to get tested. One-third were asked to get tested with a friend, which means that someone knows you well and wants you to know your status too. And you trusted them enough to be encouraged by that. So that's an awesome outcome. First, everyone likes free. And when it remains free, they really like free. So at 6 months, they were satisfied with free testing at 78%, and then at 12 months at 88%. By the 6 month mark, our intervention churches, like I said, had experienced at least two testing events, and the more exposure to confidential testing, the more safe they felt. Everyone was taken into a little room off to the side and given their test results, and the only way a person sitting next to you in a pew would know is if you told them yourself. Now, let's look at comparison at 12 months of the intervention and comparison churches with satisfaction of HIV testing. It's important to note here that the screenings were not implemented any differently at the intervention or comparison churches. The KCMO Health Department, what we call their dream team, showed up with no less than 4 screeners and a supervisor ready to rock and roll, get people tested back into praise and worship, back into church service, whatever they needed to get back into, but they knew it was important to get people moving, especially on a Sunday. They didn't want to miss the pastor preaching. So the impact of the intervention on testing significance was on testing was extremely significant. Again, everybody's happy with it being free. And when it came to not feeling judged or talked about, you can see the marked difference between the comparison and intervention churches, with over 2/3 of the intervention church reporting that they felt safe and not judged or talked about. And then they were in and out real quick. So when we look at our post-discussion intervention focus groups, participants shared their surprise at the level of willing participation they experienced on test days. The participants also noticed an attitude change toward getting tested in church, as seen in the following comment. I think initially people were sort of iffy, you know, feeling like they don't want to be put out like they were doing something bad because of the stigma attached to it. But, and here's the important part, when the second testing event came around and then the third, I think people grew a comfort level that improved just because of the education that was put out there. Again, normalizing HIV screening played a powerful role in shifting attitudes. So it can be done, y'all. Developing trust and testing confidentiality. I'm from New York originally, but I learned that in Missouri, it's the show me state. Folks don't readily trust that what you said you're going to do, that you're going to do. Therefore, you have to show and prove that they can trust you. And as you can see from the two comments, the intervention was able to build and provide that trust and sense of comfort. Normalizing the new ways. Oh, did I move? Not moving. Oh, there you go. Sorry, everybody. Normalizing new ways of thinking and doing becomes routinely incorporated in our healthcare activities. So we have this great potential to impact screening behavior over time. I thought it was going to take much longer than 12 months to impact somebody's attitudes towards screening, but it didn't. It just took institutionalizing some strategies that encouraged it, and over a very short period of time and only 3 testing activities. So we actually have an opportunity to make a difference. So what were the lessons learned? It's important, imperative, absolutely essential to have the capacity necessary for successful screening during non-traditional work hours. We had to equip our church liaisons with a comfort level to discuss HIV and sex, because, you know, they go together, and provide them with the tools to coordinate HIV testing events effectively and efficiently. Church-based testing is welcomed and can be conducted in a safe way, privately and compassionately. And as we can see from the testing results, congregants will take advantage of HIV screening when it's accessible. Thank you.